Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Our sermon text for our meditation today is recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So far our text, and we pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the end of the school year is coming up. Pretty soon, some of you will be walking the graduation stage and on to bigger and better things. I'm sure some of you have summer plans of some sort, whether it's working, traveling, or even just staying at home, I don't judge. The school year's end doesn't mean that things get any less busy. We have all sorts of problems of life we have to tackle, questions that need to be answered. And it can seem like it's all going so fast. Now, for you graduates, I don't think I really have any sage advice to give you. I can't predict what will happen in each and every one of your lives, whether or not you'll get a satisfying career, or if you'll meet a nice spouse and have children. But there is one thing I think I can predict with near 100% accuracy, you know, barring extenuating circumstances. You see, I can predict within 100 years or so, you're all going to die. Now, if I may sound a little flippant, talking, joking about something as serious as death, it's probably because of how big and grave a thing it is. Death is the most prominent problem that mankind has ever faced. That and its underlying cause, sin. But thanks be to God, we do have a solution for it. That in Jesus Christ, as our text so rightly shows us. There is an interesting poem. I appreciate it very much. It was written centuries ago by an Englishman named John Donne, called No Man is an Island. The last line, I think, is the best in my opinion. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. All of us, at one point or another, has had family or friends pass from this world. It's a difficult thing. But in Christ, we know that he, our resurrection and life, has overcome death. Now let's return to our text here. In the verses preceding our reading here, Mary and Martha, the two sisters who are often so associated with Jesus, they sent for him because their brother Lazarus was sick. However, Jesus waits a little bit before going. In fact, he even says an interesting phrase, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." It's only after a couple days, when Lazarus dies, that Jesus suddenly springs into action. In our text, Martha comes up to Jesus, and she confesses, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But she also expresses her trust. "But I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." She knows Jesus is different, that he is special. And in fact, later on, she even calls him the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And so Martha has these high hopes for Jesus, even if she doesn't verbalize them. Jesus affirms her hopes, saying, "Your brother will rise." Again, perhaps maybe somewhat timidly, too afraid to ask of something so great of Jesus, she says, "I know that he will rise on the resurrection on the last day." A beautiful statement, a general truth, but perhaps, at least not with her words, she's not fully grasping at what Jesus is saying to her here. Now, let's be a bit fair to Martha. There must have been so many thoughts and emotions swirling in her head. Death can do that to people. Ever since our first father, Adam, fell from grace, we have had to deal with the consequences of the sickness unto death, that is sin. The good that God would have us do, we so often leave undone. And the evil which God forbids us to do, that's often the first item checked off on the to-do list. But the scriptures are very clear. The wages of sin is death. With everything we have on our plate, the biggest problem we have as mankind is this death. And it's not something we like to talk about, but it's all something we have to face. About a week and a day from now, we'll mark the third anniversary of my grandfather's passing. He had lived a full and blessed life to the age of 78. God even allowed him to see some of his great-grandchildren. Now, for many of us here, we think we have our full lives ahead of us. You know, it's way so far off into the future, it doesn't even need our consideration. Last January marked the 11th anniversary of the death of my cousin Matthew. He died in a car accident at the age of 19. He was younger than most of you here today. Death comes to all people, young and old, rich and poor, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. We may try to focus our attention elsewhere. Maybe we focus on our schooling. Maybe we work on our careers or our families or even our hobbies. And yet, we all have faced the grim reality of a funeral. Whether we see death coming or whether we don't, whether it's in an accident or with a terminal diagnosis, it can shake us to our very core. Far too often, guilt, the thoughts of words that shouldn't have been said, deeds that should have been left undone, the memories of people we hurt can often haunt us even to our deathbeds. We also know the penalty of God's law for our sin: eternal death, hell, separation from our Creator. And so the fear can rise in our hearts that when we die, we go as a summons to face God's judgment. Let's return to our text here. Here we find Jesus in the midst of all this gloom and sorrow that you would expect of a funeral. And yet his words here are anything but gloom and sadness. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." With these words, Jesus was consoling Martha. And more than that, he was going even beyond her true statement about the resurrection on the last day. He was saying he was the resurrection. God finds no joy in the death of the sinner. Indeed, the suffering, the death, the decay was never part of his design for this world. And so he sought about to fix this great problem. He sent his son into our world. Jesus would tackle this very problem head on. He took on our flesh, became our brother. This was promised all the way back in the Old Testament, The prophets spoke about it. In fact, Isaiah wrote, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Since Adam and Eve's fall, God has planned and carried out our salvation. On the cross, Jesus did battle with all the forces of sin, death, and hell. Through his torments and anguishes, he faced the very wrath of God. And by his stripes, by his sufferings, his holy death, he has swallowed up death. And not only that, but because of what he has done, our sins in him have been forgiven. Death no longer has a claim on us. The world, our own sinful flesh, the devil, they were all like us to sit in hell forever. But now, through Jesus, that is no longer the case. He carried our sins to his grave so that we would never have to fear about taking them to our own. Later on, in the chapter from where our text comes from, Jesus demonstrates his power over death to Martha, Mary, and all the mourners present by raising Lazarus from the dead. He demonstrated clearly that there was no force in heaven or on earth that could oppose him, not even death, which haunts us even today. He is the resurrection and the life. All of Martha's wildest hopes were fulfilled, and even more than the physical resurrection of her brother, Jesus promised her an eternal resurrection. Death is not the end. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We do not have to go to that dreadful portal and see it as a place where we will face judgment from God. Instead, it is the beautiful chariot which takes us to heaven to be with our Savior. He who lives and believes in me will never die. When we close our eyes to this world for the last time, we will not open them to judgment, but we will open them to our loving Father and to our dear Savior, Jesus. Dear fellow redeemed, do not fear death. When it comes, remember that your Savior, Jesus, will lead you through it. This isn't a place he hasn't gone before, but where in his death he suffered the anguish which our sins deserved. Our death is that of pure triumph, pure victory, and we shall get to enjoy heaven forever. And we will enter it with a shout with our Savior. And remember, the same voice that called out, "Lazarus, come forth," is the same voice that will call you from your grave on the last day. To the one who lives and was dead, who has the keys of Hades and death, be glory forevermore. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we pray. Almighty God, we thank that you have kept us this day from sin and evil. We know we are not worthy of a single crumb of your mercy. Yet, in your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and his glorious resurrection, you bestow it richly and freely upon us. Grant us hearts of faith, so that we trust in your word and promises, that when the last hour comes, we may have a blessed end. Send your angels to carry us to our heavenly home, that we may dwell with you in everlasting righteousness, joy, and peace. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.